I was saying that I'm moving the exams up to the week after Prosperity Revival, so that that week we will have off, so you don't have to worry about trying to get here to class on Mondays and Wednesday. That we can have that week, and you can spread your exams out and take them. 1 week difference ain't gonna make that much of a difference. You're gonna get the same information regardless. So after the week of the Prosperity Revival, we happen to be there on the night sessions. You will be thankful that that following week you don't have to come to class. You can just take exams, all right? So I just wanted to let you know that. Tonight, we'll be in chapter 6, talking about the memory. We've dealt with the emotions. We've dealt with the intellect. Tonight, we'll be dealing with memories. Of course, memory is another aspect of the soul. And as we cover each one of them this semester, we'll probably get through all five. Maybe we'll have the will. I think we'll get to the will, and it'll be early in the next semester. But the latter part of this class, from about February to the end of class, till you get ready to graduate, we'll be start dealing with the application of the soul, because the soul plays such an integral part into our walk with God. And religion has told us to set our soul or our minds on the side. But we cannot set our mind on the side, because number one, God has a soul. God has a mind. If he didn't, once again, if he didn't have a mind, he wouldn't tell us to come reason with him. Isaiah 1:18. God wouldn't say, I know. You know in your spirit, but you also know in your mind. He said, I know the thoughts that I think of you. So thinking happens in the mind. So God is, so the second part, we're going to start dealing with how to incorporate our soul in conjunction with our spirit. Our soul, once again, I want you to be clear on what we're trying to accomplish in this class. Our soul gives our spirit eyesight into the natural. All right. Our spirit gives our soul eyesight into the supernatural. So the two have to work together. If the two don't work together, we won't get anything accomplished. There'll be a whole lot of supernatural stuff going on, but it can't be translated into the natural, because our mind is not cooperating with our spirit. Spirit is king. The soul is the master. The body is the slave. Are you understand? So we're seeing this, all right? So the reason why we have to break the soul down is because there's five ways that Satan can attack the soul. Because Satan's not attacking your spirit. He can't get to your spirit. There is nothing wrong with your spirit. There's nothing has ever been wrong with your spirit. Nothing has ever been wrong with you. Even when you were a sinner, nothing was wrong with your spirit. It's just your spirit didn't have contact with God because of sin. But because of the blood of Jesus, now we're able to boldly go into the throne room of grace and find help in a time of trouble. Are you saying this? So Jesus being born, Jesus dying on the cross and allowing us to be born again, that's what born again means. Our spirit is now come alive to who God is. It was dead to who God was, wasn't connected to God, but it becomes alive to who God is. And now that our spirit becomes alive to God, now we have to, our whole Christian walk is about realigning our mind and our body. Are you seeing this? So Satan will attack your emotions. He will attack your intellect and your will. Your intellect and your reasoning. And as I said tonight, he will attack your memory. How does Satan attack your memory? Let me backtrack a little bit. I hope you listen at me, Internet. Our memory, God gave us memory for one purpose, and that is to rehearse past victories. That's the purpose of memories, is to rehearse past victories. When Abraham then walked the earth, if you read through Genesis, you'll see everywhere God did something significant for Abraham, he will build an altar. So the question is, why would he build an altar? He built an altar because they were nomadic people, meaning they would travel in a certain circumference. I won't just say in a circle, but they would travel a certain path. Let me say that, a certain path because of the seasons. Because they were nomadic, they had herds, and so they would go where the grass was green. So they would travel a certain path, and every time he passed one of those altars, it what? Reminded him of what God had done. So when he, so go to Romans, the fourth chapter. Verse 21. And it says, and being fully persuaded, go to verse, watch this, go to verse 20. Now, mind you now, let's set this up. Let's set this up before we read it. Of course, I'm loving it that we read the New Testament. Paul is making reference to it, but now we can read it, see it being read in the New Testament, and we can go back to the Old Testament and see what happened. Paul gave us a synopsis of what happened. He said he staggered not at the promises of God. Okay, so God had promised him a son, correct? God had promised Abraham a son. But a lot of things happened in between that son coming, right? So he would build altars during his nomadic travels. He would build altars, and every time he saw an altar, it would remind him it remind him of what God had done, his past victories. So when he was reminded of what God has done, that's where we get this 20th and 21st verse from. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, strong in his assignment, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being what? What did it say, internet? Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That is a memory. He became fully persuaded in his mind. What about his spirit? His spirit couldn't be alive to God. Why? Jesus hadn't died yet. Jesus hadn't died yet. So it was his mind that was fully persuaded. Are you seeing this? How was he fully persuaded? From his memory, he kept building altars. Every time he would pass that altar during a certain time of the year, it would remind him, hey, God did this at this time last year. God did this at this time 3 years ago. He would build an altar. Remember, God did this 5 years ago. God did this 15 years ago. And so his memory, him remembering what God had done, caused him to be fully persuaded. So being fully persuaded has a lot to do with your memory. Are you seeing this? Now you see how important your soul is. Being fully persuaded. See, Abraham had no Bible. He had no Bible. So how did he become fully persuaded? His memory, what God had done. See, it's easy for us because we can become fully persuaded without nothing ever happening to us yet. Because we see he did it for all these other people. And God is not a respecter of person. Right? So we see here that he was fully persuaded that he was going to have this son. Why was he so confident about this son? Because he saw God do everything else. So by him seeing God do everything else, his memory aided him in becoming fully persuaded. Are you seeing this? Now, this leads me to what Satan tries to do with our memory. Satan tries to drudge up and bring up all your past so that you can feel insignificant to do what God has called you to do. That's why he say, that's why the altar is so significant in the church, because you can come lay it on the. Now, what happens a lot of times, what it means when we talk about lay it on the altar, it really means getting it out of your memory. Romans 12 and 2. Very familiar scripture. I said we would go to scripture over and over and over and over again. Romans 12 and 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now, if you have some ungodly memories, see, ungodly memories will then, watch how the mind works now. Ungodly memories would trigger ungodly emotions. Ungodly memories would trigger ungodly emotions and make you make ungodly decisions. Your intellect won't operate properly. You get what I'm saying? And so if we don't learn how to deal with these ungodly memories, what may have happened to us in the past, what we may have done in the past, what somebody may have done to us in the past. See, that's what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is never about the other person. You forgiving somebody is never about the other person. It's never about them. It's about you. It's about you being able to deal with that memory so that you won't have no ungodly emotions the next time you see that person. And then you have some ungodly, you make an ungodly decision. See, ungodly memories will crystallize into bitterness, into hatred, into unforgiveness, into self-pity, into depression, into low self-esteem. Ungodly memories would do that. That's why we have to be very careful how we talk to our children and grandchildren. We have to hold them accountable, but we have to speak life to them. I never forget, I was walking into the mall about 3 years ago, and I seen this young lady, and her son had to be about 3 years old, maybe two, maybe 3 years old, and she got him out the car, out the car seat, stood him on the ground. He's two, three. He took off running. He took off running. Man, she grabbed him and said, you good for nothing, blankety, 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 blank, 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 blank. Bring your blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. You ain't gonna never be no blank. And I said to myself, all he did was took off running. He ain't steal nothing. He ain't dead. I mean, he was being a 2-3-year-old little boy. But what kind of effect would her words have on him? So, because that's a habit. If she's doing it then, I know she's going to get, unless God intervened, she's going to keep doing it. So now he's got to grow up with his most prized, the person he treasures, telling him he ain't going to be nothing. So now he got to become an adult with that memory that the person who raised me, who helped me to become who I am, is telling me I ain't going to be nothing. So now those thoughts begin to create emotions. Well, if I ain't going to be nothing, life don't mean nothing. If life don't mean nothing, that means your life don't mean nothing. So if you make me mad, I'm just take your life. Because life don't mean nothing, because I ain't going to be nothing no way. You see that? You see how memories? So this is why you have to take the word of God and begin to combat those memories. So no matter what anybody else has told you, you got to go and see. Go to John, the first chapter. You have to go into the word of God and see what God has said about you. what God has said. That's why God made it so clear to Jeremiah. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, because everybody else had some other thoughts about Jeremiah. But he told Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Because God wants his thoughts about Jeremiah to override any other memories he had about what somebody else said he was going to do, supposed to do, or supposed to become. John, the first chapter, watch this. Let's see, I think it's let's start at verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I love how the Message Bible says it. Let me get to the Message Bible. Let's see. The Message Bible. But whoever, verse 12, but whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. I love it. So what Jesus was really saying at that moment, what John was saying is, as soon as you got born again, your lineage changed. See, I couldn't understand why Matthew's 1 was written. I couldn't understand why Matthew 1 was written. Matthew 1 was written so that you can see where the lineage started and where the lineage finished with Jesus. And then now your name is attached to that lineage by his blood. So now what is really that scripture saying? That scripture is saying you have the right to bypass your physical lineage and get reconnected to your original lineage. So it's almost as if God is ignoring everything in your past, which he is, because the Bible says that he will forget your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. So if God can forget about it, then I can forget about it, because that's important. See, if imagine the effect on your life that it would have if you allow Satan to dominate your memory about your life before you got born again. Then you will convince yourself that you can't do nothing for God. I love the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I was chieftain of sinners. He said, but yet not I. Christ lives in me. Other words, Paul was saying, yeah, I know I had a, he said, man, I was killing Christians. I was killing Christians. But then when I met Jesus and had a chance to experience his love and experience what he had for me, I know it's not me, but it's him living in me. That's where Galatians 2 and 20, I think it is. Turn there. Galatians 2 and 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So verse 21, watch this, verse 21. So I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know where you frustrate the grace of God at? In your soul. When you don't allow the word of God to renew your mind, and when you don't allow the word of God to take your memories and wash them, when you don't allow the blood of Jesus to wash, listen to me. When you don't allow the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away, you keep bringing them up. Every time God talks to you, you say, but God, this. If God was concerned about but this, he wouldn't have told you. He wouldn't give you further instructions. God is not worried about God, but I did this. Oh, but God. Because see, one of Paul's concern was God. You choosing me to go preach the gospel when I used to kill people who proclaimed the gospel? But God threw that in the sea of forgetfulness. So Paul did not let his memory become ungodly. He did not let his memory hold him back from doing what God had called him to do. See, we can't let our memories get away from us. We cannot let our memories cause us to create emotions that will cause us to be ineffective in this present moment. That's why you have to take the word of God. You have to take the word of God and understand death. You have to take the word of God and understand separation. Take the word of God and understand. Because if not, all of us have somebody that passed away in our lives. And if we don't properly check our memories, see, watch this one thing about the memories. Here's the thing about God knows what he's doing. Immediately after somebody passes that you know, 5 seconds after you found out they passed, you begin to forget details about them. It's been proven by science. 5 seconds after you find out they passed, you automatically begin to forget details about them. No matter how hard you try, there's some things you're going to forget. God designed the human mind to be that way. So that why? Grief can't take you over. Now, some people try their darndest to hold on to it and to hold on to it and to hold on to it. And guess what? If you choose to hold on to it and hold on to it and hold on to it, Satan will come and assist you. Assist you to where you can't even function. I know, right? I know a situation right now. Young lady should come to this church, intelligent young lady, had a son. Son got killed in a car accident. So a car hit him. She never allowed the Holy Spirit, or watch this, didn't allow anybody with the help of the Holy Spirit to help her deal with this grief. She held on to it. And she held on to it to the point where Satan got a hold of her mind. And now she hallucinating. They got her in and out of wards. She can't think straight. Her reality is mixing with falseness. She claiming things that ain't true. Because now Satan has, she stuck with that memory so long. So Satan found an entryway to where he done built a stronghold. Now she can get out of that stronghold, but it's going to take the word of God and her discipline to get out of that stronghold. Are y'all seeing this? So our memories are important, and we have to guard our memories. We have to guard what. That's why your environment is so important, because something in your environment can put something in your memory that'll cause you to behave a certain way. So you have to be careful about your environment. Any thought that comes along, anything that your environment exposes you to that's not kosher with the word of God, you have to take the word of God and deal with it. That's why 2 Corinthians 10. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. It's so important. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Watch. Verse 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Memories are thoughts. Memories are thoughts that have taken place. You have to bring it to the obedience of Christ. If you don't bring it to the obedience of Christ, then that thought will cause you to create emotions that you cannot handle. Go with me to Philippians. Since we're over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, go to Philippians. the third chapter. Show you a positive of memory. Philippians, the third chapter. Verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do. What he said? Forgetting those things which are behind. What he does? Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, God already knows your past. He forgot it. So if he forgot it, you can forget it. And the way you forget it is to press. One of my favorite statements that I make all the time is, I control what I can control. What I can't control, I don't worry about. I can't control my past. It's already done. No matter what you've done in your past, it's already done. I could have gone back and changed it. I can't do that. I don't care what you've done in your past. It's in the past. Do you show remorse for some things? Yeah. I can't change it. Trust me, a lot of things we go in our past and change if we could. I mean, yeah. I mean, we would, but you can't. So Paul said, I press. See, I press. See, Satan would love, that's why Satan, one of the things that Satan plays with the most is your soul. That's the only thing he play with. He plays with your soul. And that memory, all that memory, he'll wear you out with that memory. Because he'll try to bring, and see, when you bring up memories, thoughts bring all kinds of emotions with them. Give you an example. Somebody say sweet potato pie, your mouth start watering. That's a thought with an emotion attached to it, right? So he'll bring up a memory, and it'll bring up guilt. He'll bring up a memory. A bad memory is bitterment. He'll bring up a memory, and now you're depressed. He'll bring up a memory. Now you, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. We all know you shouldn't have done it. We know God knows that. But that doesn't negate what God has planned. Remember now, Jeremiah 29:11, that's a powerful scripture. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now think about, let's think about the greatest example we can think of is the Apostle Paul. God was talking about Apostle Paul back then. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you, Saul, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So it was Saul's decision to accept God's thoughts for him, regardless of his past. Is that making sense? It's gotten over there to you? I saw it crawling. You in the country. Got little bugs everywhere around here. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I press. So the key, one of the keys to forgetting is pressing. One of the keys to forgetting is moving forward with God. One of the keys is not allowing Satan to bring up memories and you linger with them. You can't linger. Anytime Satan comes, you can't linger. You can't play around with Satan. Because see, Satan, that's the thing about bad confession. You can't keep saying bad things about yourself. Because all Satan gonna do is take your power of creation, what you're saying, and bring it back and use it on you. Funny, it's not funny, but he was a comedian, and you can see how it's funny. Fred Sanford. What he was always saying? Here's the big one. Here's the big one. Oh, Lord, the big one. And what happened? Had a heart attack, the big one came. Satan would take your power, he would take your power and take it, go around the corner, take your power, go around the corner, and come back to you like he got power. But you gave it to him. That's all that happened in the garden. The reason why he became God of this world, because the people who had dominion gave it to him. Don't give it to him. Don't let him have your memory. You must do like the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind you, I press toward the high mark, the calling in Christ Jesus. God forgot about it. You can forget about it. It doesn't matter the other person didn't forget about it. If you did somebody wrong, it doesn't matter if they don't forget about it. That's not your problem. I'm not saying that you just don't show no remorse about it. I'm not saying that. It's just there's nothing I could do. You can't let that hold you back. I'll see y'all next week. Don't climb in that ceiling.